Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and this is the only podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. And to say that I'm excited about this episode would be an understatement. It features the return of my very good friend, Adam Michaels. Now, Adam has been on this podcast on many occasions, but for the last year, roughly, he has been living in North Carolina. And, you know, I know we're going to talk a little bit about this at the beginning of the episode, but I thought I'd just give a little bit of a backstory, so to speak. About a year ago, Adam got an opportunity to go to North Carolina for a really, really good job. So his family and he moved down there. Within a few weeks of being in North Carolina, Adam found out that his wife was pregnant with their beautiful, beautiful baby daughter. And, you know, all the family's up here in Ohio, so after his daughter was born, they made the decision to move back up here because family's important to Adam and his wife. And so he quit the job in North Carolina, moved back up here to the state of Ohio. He's not in the Columbus area. Got a new job and is starting to, you know, get back into the swing of things, of living life like everybody else, man. So I'm happy to have him on. And as I mentioned in my last posting, my last episode, my last edition, whatever you want to call it, albeit it was a succinct one, I mentioned that I was going to attend Full Throttle Wrestling, which was a small independent show out in Troy, Ohio, which is kind of out near where Adam is currently living right now. Before we get into the episode, I would just like to throw out a few ground rules. Adam and I are going to talk about our total experience of going to this show. And we're going to mention some of the good things and some of the bad things. As listen, in every particular indie show, or for that matter, professional wrestling show, you're going to see some good things, you're going to see some bad things. And, you know, I think I've always been 100% honest with this podcast and giving you my opinions, my thoughts. As a matter of fact, if I may just deviate for a minute from this kind of this train of thought, you know, I've had a particular guest, and I'm not going to mention who, that wanted to come on this podcast, but I felt that that individual was not going to be 100% honest, that that individual was going to give a bunch of politically correct answers, canned answers, scripted answers, and I didn't want that. I wanted that. I want people to come on here and talk about what they think and their opinions. And now, bringing it back off of that little tangent, you know, Adam and I are going to present those opinions. And listen, I will freely admit that there are times, even with OCW, that we do some things that are good and some things that are bad. And maybe somewhere down the road, maybe I'll do a podcast of some of the hits and misses, if you will, of my time in Ohio Championship Wrestling. But, you know, with that being said, we shall present our opinions of our experience there and take them for just that. They're just our opinions. Adam's opinions, my opinions. You know, as I mentioned many times before, you know, if you like it, great. If you don't, that's fine too. And that's A-okay. By all means, not trying to be disrespectful to anybody that was involved with that particular show. Because, you know, we're all in this game together. We're all here. We're all part of that fraternity of professional wrestling. So I have the utmost respect for folks that are involved in this industry. But again, I'm going to mention some things I thought could have been done a little bit better and some things that were top-notch. So with that, let's not waste any more time. I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And then when I come back, ladies and gents, you're going to hear Mr. Adam Michaels. You've heard him on this podcast, but now Brian Lau's science fiction fantasy comic book, Staunch Ambition, is available for sale. If you want to get your hands on the preview issue that we talked about on episode 68 of this very podcast, head on over to staunchambition.com. You can pick up the preview issue as well as a ton of other swag. Just head on over to staunchambition.com and check out the online store.
A new episode of the PVD Cast. Adam Michaels, welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
Literally, welcome back to the state of Ohio, actually.
Yeah, it
as
was.
As well as this podcast.
Yeah, it was, you know, what, 10 to, about 10, 11 month absence that
yeah,
I decided to,
yeah.
to go down to North Carolina. And, you know, we had my wife and I had a beautiful baby girl, and we decided to come back to the Buckeye State in order to be closer to family. So I've been back here, about 3 weeks now. So it's good to be back.
Yeah, good. And everybody's healthy and happy?
Absolutely. Couldn't ask for anything more.
Mm-hmm. Are you, obviously you're excited to be a father, but do you have any concerns?
Well, sure. I mean, I try to put those concerns out of my head now.
Because you have like 15 years before you have to be really concerned, right? When boys start talking about the house and whatnot.
We were out to dinner on Friday night, and some old lady actually like leaned over and said to me, "Oh, you're going to have your hands full when she's older." I'm like, "Yeah, no, thank you." Just because she is such a cute little baby.
And
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, especially she takes after dad, too. You'll have your hands full, no doubt.
Oh, especially, she's saying so she's as good looking as her dad?
I'm going to say she's going to be ornery like her dad.
Okay. Well, I don't know about that. But yes, it is good to be back, and good to be back on the PVD cast.
Yeah, all right, man. All right. So, all right, well, enough about that. Let's talk about what we witnessed last night, because about three weeks ago, you had emailed or messaged me and a couple of friends about going to check out an indie show in the area. Now, real quickly, maybe for the listeners, you're currently in Ohio, but you're not in the Columbus area.
Right. I'm in the metropolis of Sydney, Ohio, which is out near about 35 minutes northwest of Dayton. Okay. So, you know, more on the western half of the state. So this indie show took place in Troy, Ohio, which is 20 minutes south of Sydney. So, you know, we're right around 20, 25 minutes from Dayton for this show.
Okay, so we decided to go out and check out Full Throttle Wrestling, which I mentioned on the last half episode that I did, that I was going to be heading out. And so we went to the show at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds.
Miami County.
What did I say?
Montgomery.
Sorry, Miami County Fairgrounds.
Yeah, close enough.
Close enough. It's an at least there is a Montgomery County in Ohio. Yeah. Not like completely.
True, it's not like it wasn't out of the blue.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Anyways, so we're going to review it a little bit. So let's start off by saying that the turnout was probably less than what the promoter wanted.
Well, yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I was actually talking to one of our buddies earlier in the week, and he was asking me, you know, what do you expect for a turnout? And I said, I don't know. I think it could go one of two ways. It could go really, really low, like 25 to 40 people, or, you know, it could surprise us and we'll be there and be, you know, in a sea of 200 to 300. But sadly, it went the latter half. It went to, or the earlier half, it went to, I think, maybe 35 people, maybe.
Maybe, possibly, because there was a few folks that obviously, as it happens at every indie show, are there to support wrestlers, so they kind of get a pass to come in, so you always have to deduct those folks.
True.
From the count. So it was not a very large crowd, to say the least. Which and sucks, man, you know?
Right, I was going to say, I can't really speak to promotion. I caught it just because I follow one of the wrestlers or whatever on Facebook. I saw they said they were going to be in Troy, Ohio, which started my digging. And we joked that we actually saw the card on Craigslist of all places.
You know what? Is that innovative? Because I gotta be honest, I never thought that advertising on Craigslist would be a way to get the word out.
Me neither. I mean, I never saw, any posters. I did see somebody had a picture of an ad they took out in the local paper. I mean, every little town around here has their own newspaper. So, I mean, I don't know if it was strictly for, like, the Troy area. But, I mean, I didn't see anything in terms of, like, the Sydney newspaper. Obviously, my TV watching these days has been limited due to the child. So I don't know if there was any, like, you know, on television advertising. But, I mean, all I saw was the Craigslist ad and, you know, word of mouth.
And they also have a Facebook. They have a Facebook page, which I mentioned. Yeah, yeah, so that was also an avenue. And I guess, you know, in our years of indie wrestling, that's always the biggest problem. How do you get the word out without spending thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, on advertising? That's the challenge for any promoter. I don't care who you're talking about, trying to get that word out.
Yeah. Like you said, it comes down to especially spending the money. I mean, in markets like Troy, I would think that you could get a decent word out for low cost. You know, we work a lot of times in Coshocton, Newark, Zanesville, where, you know, the advertising dollars probably go a little bit further than they do in places like a Dayton or a Columbus or even a Cincinnati. Right. But like you said, it's hard to spend those dollars to hit your target audience.
Which, speaking of which, real quick, I don't know anything about Sidney, Ohio, other than where it is. And mm-hmm. the quick tour that you gave us last night, a phenomenal burg, yeah. if you will. Yeah. what is the TV market? Like, does Sidney pull, like, television stations from Dayton? Or is it from Lima? Or what is
yes.
the...
So it is primarily from Dayton.
Okay.
They actually do get WBNS out of Columbus, but it gets... Unless there is something different on the CBS affiliate in Dayton, it doesn't come through. Like, it gets blacked out almost.
Really?
So that's yeah, weird. It's unusual.
Yeah.
But they do get it on their cable system. But for the most part, they are all Dayton based.
Okay. All right. Just out of curiosity, I was just wondering. So,
yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair
most
question.
Definitely that would make it a challenge if you were going to do television ads for this mm-hmm. company, you know, Dayton. Cause as you said, it's probably sky high price wise, but okay. So overall, we have the crowd was not quite what they hoped for. But overall, what'd you think of the show?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess we could grade it on, what do you want to grade it on? 10-point scale, 5-star scale? What do you want to do?
Wow. Gee. How about A, B, C, D, or F?
Okay.
How about that?
It's difficult because when you have such a lackluster crowd, I think it really takes away from
all right, we're having a little technical difficulties.
Everything in the ring.
All right, hold on,
not there.
Hold on for a sec. Can you repeat what you said? Because we had a little technical issue there that you kind of broke up on us. So you were saying with the lackluster crowd, it impacts the guys. Go with that, what you were talking about there.
Yeah, so if there's something that's not good, a lot of the times if you have a good crowd, they can kind of fix that for you. And when you have such a small crowd, I mean, you see all of the blunders, you see mm-hmm. all of the lack of
miscues.
Experience.
Yeah, miscues and whatnot.
So that being said, I think, I hate to say this, I think it was more of a D to F show. But I'll give them the upper end of that and say, you know, it was a C minus to a D plus.
I was going with D plus too. I really was. I think that there were two matches that were pretty entertaining.
Yes.
But there was a couple of matches that were not very good, let's just be honest. And I think that, you know, I think personally this is my critique of it. And again, with all due respect to all the guys that were on that show and all the girls
Absolutely.
That were on that show, I think that when you are booking a show, you have to watch what talent you put in the ring. And I mean that if you have a guy that's a little less experienced, you need to make sure that you can put an experienced guy that can carry them in a match with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at times that wasn't the case last night.
No, and I thought about this a lot last night. I mean, that the main event or what they chose for the main event was not a good choice.
No.
I apologize because I don't remember the guy's names, but the one called himself, you know, the Street Runner, I believe, was his moniker.
I got it, actually. I think the main event was Alex Daniels versus Zach Spades.
Yeah, and Zach Spades was okay.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Alex Daniels is, you know, two hamburgers short of 150 pounds. And just my biggest thing is it's not believable. I mean, you got this kid in there that looks like he just came from, you know, the high school gym. And at least, you know, Zach Spades has a character. At least he is, you know, very crowd interactive. Whereas this other guy, in terms of a main event, was, I mean, he's a dud. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. Zach Spades is a pretty solid guy. I've worked some, at least one show with the guy. And he's a pretty solid worker. I think Alex Daniels, my part, and I think this is going to be the theme that we're going to talk about with this show, is a lot of folks don't understand that you should look like a wrestler. And I felt Alex Daniels came out in that sweatsuit. I'm like, you look like a kid from an amateur wrestling. Like, this is high school wrestling. You know what I mean? Now,
yeah.
he did have tights and gear, but it just didn't work for me. I was like, that first introduction, never seen the guy wrestle ever before. He comes out through that curtain in a sweatsuit. I'm like, it's not believable.
Right. Yeah, and we had that conversation a lot during the event itself, where I think, you know, our buddies were kind of laughing at me because I was getting upset or irritated that guys didn't have wrestling boots. And it goes beyond that. I mean, we're talking gear in general. There was their opening contest, they had a kid that probably brand new to professional wrestling, certainly showed in the ring, but he comes out wearing essentially pants and wrestling shoes. I mean, when you go to a pro wrestling show, the story is, I'd say, 70%. Because if you have guys that can't really work all that well, they can still tell a very good story. But when your characters look like somebody that just delivered your pizza, or just, you know, bagged your groceries at Walmart, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard to suspend that disbelief.
Yes, yes. But there was some bright spots. I'll go on record saying that I thought two of the more entertaining matches, which was, I believe one of them was the sub-main event, Lewis Linden versus Jason Gorey, I thought was a pretty good match.
Yeah, it was. I thought they went a little too long.
A little bit, yeah.
Especially when you have a crowd that small. And I mean, we can get into the whole fact that they did a 20-minute intermission, which was ludicrous.
That was dumb. I told you, I said, none of the boys in the back will care if you wrap up early to get to be done, because you're not selling anything. What are you going to sell? Anytime you or I or any of our friends were thirsty, we could walk back in between a match, get a soda, and go back to the stands. You know what I mean? There was no...
Yeah, you weren't tripping over anybody.
Right, exactly. That intermission was... That's a big reason that I think that I went with the grade that I went. I think I would have given them the C- had we not had that 20 minutes of sitting around twiddling our thumbs.
Yeah, I mean, getting back to the match itself, I mean, I thought the match was good. It went, like I said, it went a little too long, but I thought they both had very good characters.
Linden is solid. I mean, I think that guy is really a solid wrestler. You know, I've worked with him on old wrestling before, and he's a pretty solid wrestler. I think he's very high flying, very entertaining, very energetic. You know, Jason Gorey from Prime, most fans would know him from Prime Wrestling. He was with Crimson and that kind of odd, weird, gothic type of gimmick and group. I thought he was pretty solid as well, and a guy that's been wrestling for quite a long time, too. So I thought that was a great matchup to present. But I feel like maybe that should have been the main event.
Yeah, or for me, I think even a better match than that was the police department versus Apollo Starr. And I apologize, I don't remember his partner's name.
Drew Skills,
yes. Who I thought was very good. That's the first time I've seen Drew Skills, obviously. But the match was very entertaining. I mean, the wrestling was average, there's no doubt about that, but I thought the characters were very good.
Yeah, and those four gentlemen put those characters over. They were, you know, obviously, you know, we know Apollo Starr from OCW, he does a great job, you know, with his particular character, but yes, Drew Skills did a great job of putting his character over. And even the police department, those guys who kept it very simple. They didn't do anything elaborate in the ring in terms of wrestling, but they put themselves over by being vocal, by being arrogant heels, by, you know, interacting with the fans, and that made that match very, very enjoyable.
Yeah, the main guy on the mic was very good for the police department.
Yes.
He, like you said, he made the 30 fans in there get riled up when he was in the ring. And that's what he was supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do.
Exactly. So I thought that match was very good, too. I was, you know, we joked, and I'm going to say we kind of joked a little bit about it while going there, about how topical this match was.
Yeah,
you know?
Really.
But they actually did a very good job of it. They kept it classy and didn't go down a road that they very easily could have. To get a bunch of cheap heat, you know, with all the stuff that's going on in our society with police departments and minorities, they could have easily taken that road. And maybe that would have been the easy way to go. But they decided to just, we're going to just be our characters. We're just going to present these characters and, you know, and keep it more, I don't want to say family friendly, but I guess that's the way it goes. Less controversial. Let's go that way.
Yeah,
let's
sure.
go that way. So.
Make it more about the wrestling than the topic.
Right, then what's going on there. Yeah, exactly. So, but overall... you know, FTW, it was what it was. And again, with all due respect to everybody involved in that particular promotion, I think you always have to be realistic enough to say, here's what was good, here's what was bad, here's what we could fix. And so I'm just giving my 2 cents worth on some of those topics. I think you agree, you're on the same wavelength with me on that idea, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there was definitely, and I don't know much about the booker or the promoter, whatever you want to call him, but I think that his matchmaking skills or lack thereof certainly showed last night.
Yeah.
You know, we, another match we can pick on, guy that we both know, you know, Dark Star Matt Taylor took on a gentleman out of Pittsburgh whose name was Fleck, I believe is what they called him.
Yeah.
Just very, what was the adjective you used? He was a wet sack of flour, I believe.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah, I mean, I thought that when you look at a gentleman that was of that stature, that pairing him up against Matt Taylor was not a good idea, because Matt Taylor is very, very good at being an aerialist, of being a striker. And unless, you know, the match went the avenue of, like, a strong style, a Japanese strong style, I felt that that was a mismatch. That if I'm booking that show, no way I would have put that gentleman Fleck, who was a big burly dude, against Matt Taylor. I would have found another combination with somebody that could match up better with Matt Taylor and given him a better opponent maybe for his skill set and, quite frankly, a more entertaining match for the folks that showed up.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. I mean, I believe it might have been the second match on the card even.
Yeah, it was.
So they only gave him about five minutes or so, and yeah. Like you said, plus you add to that, I mean, they have the smaller 18 by 18 ring. So things can get pretty tight in there, especially when you got some bigger boys. And like you said, Fleck, they build them at 250, you know, believe that if you will. But still, I mean, you add him, Matt Taylor, plus a referee that looked like he hadn't missed a meal or two. The ring is going to be pretty tight.
Yes, that one referee was a large fellow and a very loud fellow, no less.
Yeah, well, he played his part. I'll give him that.
Yeah, no, he did a good job. But he was a little bit larger, too. And, yeah, I think that, you know, matching up, like, I'm just going to throw it out there. Like, if I was booking the show, I probably would have switched out opponents. Like, the first match, there was a gentleman named Nick Cutler, who I've heard of, I know he's worked around the state, I probably would have paired him with Matt Taylor.
Yes.
And let them, those two guys, have a really good match. I thought that they could have had a more entertaining match. Maybe you put that Fleck gentleman, maybe you put him in that opening match in a squash against that smaller dude.
Yeah.
And keep it short, you know, if you're going to make it a little more believable. So I think overall, you know, while there were some very entertaining matches, to kind of wrap this up, you know, some of the matchmaking I question. You know, and especially the 20-minute intermission. Whew, that was not good.
Yeah, just because you have it baked into a format doesn't mean you have to do it.
Right, exactly. That format is temporary, as we well know.
Yes.
All right, so let's move on. Let's talk about some other wrestling-related stuff if you'd like. All right?
Okay, sure.
So, apparently the WWE has already acknowledged publicly that Tyson Kidd has that spinal cord injury and is out for some time. So what's your take on, I guess, the injury to Mr. Kidd? And maybe do you think it's a wise idea for the WWE to sit him out for a while?
Well, yeah, definitely. If it's, you know, spinal cord injuries are nothing that you really want to play with. You know, they've had lawsuits in the past where guys have had some issues. I mean, you wouldn't want... You know, the last thing you would want is for Tyson Kidd to be, like, paralyzed for the rest of his life, taking a simple backdrop or, you know, anything like that. I think it's a shame because I think he and Cesaro are really, really building some steam, even though the machine that is WWE seems to be not on their bandwagon. They were still getting over with the crowd, and I think the longer he stays off, the harder it's going to be to recreate that.
I agree, and I would like to know, because they really have not talked too much about it. It was an injury in a dark match against Samoa Joe, but I'm just curious as to what was the maneuver, what went wrong to cause the spinal cord injury. That's what I'm curious about, and there's been very little information about that. Have you heard anything? Or
no, yeah, I'm with you on that. I read somewhere that the WWE is making it more difficult for people to hear about the injuries just because – anymore. They're so severely scrutinized, you know, especially with the head injuries and I hate the cliche things of that nature, but you know what I mean? The head injuries and things that people outside of the business claim can be easily preventable. Mm-hmm. So I just don't, I think they want to keep the media storm to a minimum. I don't think we'll ever really know what happened. I hope it's not something that Samoa Joe did.
Well, they did say it was an accident, but they didn't, that's all that they will say.
Right.
It was an accident, but, Well, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see when he comes back, just as you mentioned, can they pick back up the momentum that they had and continue to be an awesome tag team? Because they are probably the best tag team on the roster.
Yeah, and I'll go on record as saying I think Cesaro is top three, top five in the company in terms of work rate, in terms of character. I mean, he's amazing. I just love watching him work.
Yeah, because every time he shows you something different, you're like, wow, I can't believe that dude just did that.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Exactly. He finds new and exciting ways to keep the crowd into it.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's talk about publicity and whatnot, since you mentioned it a little bit in that previous story. So a story has broke that there's currently going on a WWE tryout camp. Someone that we've worked many, many shows with in her early career has gotten an opportunity to go down there, Jessica Havoc. And supposedly that she was purging her Twitter account of some questionable posts while at the tryout camp. And I guess the WWE has found out about it and maybe have reprimanded or reminded, I should say, not reprimanded, but reminded of the up-and-coming kids that are coming into this tryout camp not to post things that might be questionable. Look, I'm not going to repeat some of the tweets they were posted online. But, you know, one of them was to somebody, and I'm assuming that Ms. Havoc knows this person, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt, and made a joke, a very popular catchphrase of Dave Chappelle from Chappelle's Show. In fact, it's from the skit where he was doing the Charlie Murphy stories when they were talking about Prince, I believe. They were talking about Rick James. Rick James and a man's couch and whatnot. So people at home, you know what we're talking about. And so that was tweeted out. So that's one of the culturally insensitive tweets that she may have gotten in trouble for. So what's your take on this?
I mean, it's tough. We live in a completely different age than we did 10 years ago in terms of Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. I recently, you know, started a new job in Columbus, and they have, you know, these required trainings that you're supposed to take. And one is completely on social media. You know, yeah, it's free speech. Yeah, it's this. Yeah, it's that. But somehow or another, it's going to reflect back on things you're associated with. So, you know, if you go on there and go on some racial tirade, although you're not specifically mentioning the company you work for, I mean, you represent that company in an indirect way on Facebook or on Twitter. So, you know, people think it's just like a free and open medium where they can just go out there and air their dirty laundry. You might want to think twice about that because, yeah, it's out there for the world to see, not just for, you know, at PBD MVP or at ARB 2680. You know what I mean? It's going to be seen by everybody.
Right. I totally understand where you're coming from, and I get it. The WWE is a corporate machine, and you're right. It looks bad upon them if somebody mentions that, hey, you allowed this person to tweet this. And even if it is a joke and it's taken out of context. However, on the other hand, I think it's a little bit sad that you can't joke with friends. I know, it's social media. I know it goes out there for the world to see. But, again, I think that it is somewhat sad, though, that we live in a society where every little thing is put under a microscope on one hand. You know, I mean, I've made many a tweet, especially during hockey season, about particular players that I, quote, hope tear out a knee, end quote. I don't really hope that. I just can't stand them, you know, for whatever reason. But, you know.
Well, I'm reminded of, local Columbus, Ohio sports personality who had tweeted something about, you know, Desmond Howard. He needs, if you remember that, when there was the Common Man Torg on 97.1, Scott Torgerson had tweeted out something, you know, it said, like, Desmond Howard needs to get fired or die before I watch game day again. And then he got fired for that. So that's a good parallel. I mean, he's just joking around, but, know, it upsets the wrong people, and next thing you know, you're out of a job.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, it's like a double-edged sword. Like, I definitely understand I understand the idea behind it from a corporation's viewpoint, but I also feel, I don't know, maybe it's because we're older. I don't know. I remember a time when you could joke like that and it was no big deal.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no. Not so much anymore.
Not so much anymore. Alright, last little bit of wrestling news before we get to a very interesting article that I've read. It's come out that Ring of Honor may possibly get one or two live events to air on Destination America. What's your take on this whole Ring of Honor going to Destination America TNA drama that has unfolded in the last couple of weeks?
It's odd. Destination America is owned by Discovery, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
It's a very odd spot for wrestling. I mean, when you think Destination America, it's a lot of like travel shows, things like that.
Is it? Because I'll be honest, I don't get it on my cable network. I have no clue what's on it.
Well,
no,
you know, some of the shows that are on there, like there's one that's called Hillbilly Blood.
what is that?
So it follows around two, let's call them hillbillies, that live essentially in the woods and just follows them around on their day-to-day lives. Like the one, they were trying to, and this was a while ago, they were trying to come up with money to buy something. So the whole episode focused around how they were going to come up with this money. Since they didn't have jobs, they don't have money. So they went and found like some kind of like a ginger root or something, echinacea, I don't know, something that they took to like a flea market and they were able to sell it to like make this money, a walnut oil thing. It's very intriguing.
Intriguing. I think that's the wrong adjective. It sounds boring to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, intriguing or a waste of time, depending how you look at it. But back to the issue at hand, I find it very interesting that they decided to sign Ring of Honor, considering that TNA was only on there for, what, a
six
month?
6 months, yeah.
Oh, I think 6 months.
Yeah,
excuse me.
I think they moved to, I'm not 100%, don't quote me on this, I thought either November or December they moved over.
Right, yes. So you're right, it has been 6 months. So obviously they're pleased with something. In terms of a wrestling audience and advertisers, or they wouldn't bring Ring of Honor on.
I just think it's weird, again, that from what all reports are, that Destination America has been talking to Ring of Honor for 4 months, supposedly, yeah, and not mentioning anything to TNA. I still, that's the whole part of this whole story that just still baffles me. Like, I know you don't want to tell, like, you know, if you're dating a girl, you don't want to tell her that you're going to ditch her for another girl. I get that, but still, this is, you know, we go back to the corporations. Discovery is a big corporation. You would think that they would have a team of attorneys talking to TNA to say, listen, we're going to buy you out or something along those lines. Like, I just don't, it baffles me that no one knew, that this was like a complete surprise to Dixie Carter and everybody down there at TNA.
Yeah, and I guess what Dixie Carter on some kind of conference call, I'd heard that rumor that she had badmouthed some executives and that got back to them. So, I guess it all depends on what their view of TN is. I said, obviously they have something that they like in terms of audience, and maybe they are trying to push them out. I don't know. I'm not sure how long their contract goes till, but There's something there that they like, or they wouldn't have brought Ring of Honor on.
Well, the contract's supposedly up in September. So.
Okay. So maybe they're just trying it on for size.
I don't know. I just find it weird. I think that overall, I mean, if you're going to take Destination America's side on this issue, it's a better deal for them with Ring of Honor, because Ring of Honor is basically just rebroadcasting the syndicated show that airs in many, many markets on Sinclair.
Right, it's a lot cheaper. And I've heard that there's rumors that they're not happy with the ratings in terms of money spent, so return on investment in terms of TNA, so they're spending, you know, X amount of dollars for X amount of return. They like the return, but it's hard to justify the money that they spend.
Sure, without a doubt. And, you know, when it comes down to brass tacks, it's all about money.
Yeah, and let's be honest, unfortunately, TNA just doesn't have the draw right now. I mean, I have not watched it.
Destination America, right?
Right. Here in Sydney, I do. So that night was Wednesday night, I believe. I watched Ring of Honor, and then at 9 o'clock, I turned it off.
Wow.
So that tells you anything.
Well, you know, and I think that, you know, Boy, this particular episode has been about beating up on promotions and money, hasn't it? That seems to be the theme. I'm not trying to beat up on any particular wrestling promotion. Again, I'm just presenting my honest opinion. I think that, you know, TNA has done it to themselves. I think that they had a great concept early on. They got away with it with Hogan, Bischoff, and bringing all the old guys on, so to speak, and I use that in quotation marks. And I think they've just never rebounded from it. I told you personally, I thought from what I read a couple weeks ago with Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins fame. Did I say pumpkins or
what?
Pumpkins? Yeah,
I believe Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins fame. I don't know where that came from. I like the pumpkins. Anyways. This Billy Corgan had stated he was going to start doing different things and pushing things in different avenues. You know, speaking of which, we talked about it earlier. Like he mentioned that he felt that there should be some social issues brought into TNA's booking. Okay, cool. I'd like to see how you tackle that. How do you tackle race relations? How do you tackle gender issues in society, which exist? I was excited for that. I was like, I want to see what Billy Corgan can do. I think that, unfortunately, it might be too little too late. Had he come aboard 3 years ago, maybe TNA would be in a stronger or have a stronger foundation than they do right now.
Yeah, and I think the problem is that the reason they worked at the beginning, and if you recall when they first started, I want to say at the turn of the century, you know, they were doing well, it was the turn of the century.
Yeah, it was.
Like 99 2000, was it not?
It was 2002, yeah.
2002, yeah. So, you know, they had something that differentiated themselves from the machine. You know, it was the weekly pay-per-view. I mean, I know that was tough, but they showcased smaller guys. They, you know, the X Division was really something different. They had the six-sided ring, which, again, like it or hate it, it's something different. And then I think that's where Ring of Honor is trying to position themselves away from TNA. Their wrestling is a lot more wrestling-based as opposed to story-based.
Mm-hmm.
And I think TNA is just falling right into the same realm that WWE is, and it's not giving people a reason to come over and watch.
Yep, exactly. And they have tough competition too, these two companies, because you have NXT on Wednesday nights too.
Yeah, that was.
So, I mean, that's tough too. In fact, I think is Lucha Underground also on Wednesday nights? I'm not sure. I don't get that channel either, so I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see how this shakes out, nonetheless. I mean, for Ring of Honor, for TNA, and hopefully, look, again, not so I get accused of burying promotions. I hope the TNA learns from their mistakes, they fix things, and maybe they can make Wednesday night like Wednesday Night Wrestling, you know, where people tune in, watch Ring of Honor, then watch TNA, and then, you know, whatever. But, you know, hopefully they get it back on the right track.
Yeah, I do. I do hope so. There was a time when I watched it. I remember when they got their deal. I think they got a deal with WGN first, if I recall. TNA, right, coming off of their weekly pay-per-views. I want to say they got some kind of network
deal.
No,
you know what it was? It was Fox Sports.
Okay.
Because it was on Fox Sports Ohio, like at 4:30 in the afternoon on Fridays.
Yeah, I mean, I was excited when they got the deal on Spike. You know, I watched it for a while. But then, like you said, once they brought in Hogan and Bischoff and they made that switch where it was exactly the same as what you saw on Monday night, it's not worth my time to sit through. Well, I hate sitting through 3 hours of WWE on Monday night to begin with.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. I think that was a huge mistake. But, you know, investing 5 hours into wrestling is not easy unless you're, you know, 15 years old and you got nothing to do, I guess. I don't know.
Well, all right, let's talk about our final thing. You're talking about the WWE and you're talking about 3 hours of Raw, and sometimes it's miserable to sit through. I just read an article on 401 Mania on the wrestling section. Several of the writers sat down and answered this particular question. And that question is, that apparently Vince and Triple H want to freshen up the WWE main roster, but before they can do so, they need to take away some talent in order to add some talent. So if you were looking to freshen up the WWE roster, who are the five talents you would release? So they have come up with a list, and we'll talk about that list later, but I challenged you to come up with a list, and I came up with a list, and let's compare. See who we would cut, who would we release, and who would we keep.
Yeah, and I think it's tough because they have a lot of, you know, I was just looking at the roster. They have a lot of great talent. It's just a question of how do they utilize that talent. You know, the people that I have on my list, I mean, I'm cutting them. I mean, I guess mainly because of where they are now. I think they could have been something better or could be used as something better, but in the current capacity, I mean, they're mm-hmm. useless.
Yeah, I agree. All right, you want to start with your number five?
Sure. I think one of the obvious ones, although he is probably one of the most loyal folks, is Big Show. I think he's got to go.
He's number one on my list.
Okay.
And
there you go.
Yeah, simply for the fact that what do you do with the guy?
I don't know.
He's been there since 99, right? So what do you do with him? He's won world titles. He's won tag titles. So what do you do with the guy? And
like I think he and Kane probably go interchangeably because they're kind of in the same role where they're just a body to get thrown in there to be considered a big man so you can try to put somebody else over.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to be winning any titles. And that's a problem because fans know that. So if you put – I think Big Show and Rusev were supposed to clash at some point. But you know, he's not going to win, so what's the point?
Yeah, it's not believable. And I had like a short list of like a rough draft, and Kane was on my rough draft as well. But I don't know. I think you could utilize Kane more. I think he would be more entertaining if they kept him doing like the general manager or you know, whatever his title is role rather than him wrestling. You know what I mean?
Like Director of Operations.
Director of Operations, thanks. Yes. Yeah, I think he should just be more backstage.
I agree. Same with Big Show.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think Kane has a better personality
than
Big Show in that role, but so. Okay, so that we both agree on the Big Show. Who'd you have? Mm-hmm. Who else did you have?
One that stood out to me right away was Los Matadores. I kind of feel bad for Epico and Primo because I think they're good wrestlers. But that gimmick is horrible. I'm sure they were presented with a do this gimmick or just take a hike. Yeah, I mean there's really no use for them.
Okay, I'm gonna say I agree with you on all fronts, but I think they still get over because they have the midget. I think little kids like the midget, and I think that's the only reason why they're still there is they get over with that stupid. And it's stupid. It makes no sense.
Yeah, it's dumb.
I can see where you're coming from. The tag team I put on the list was the Ascension.
Yeah, and then I was torn between the two of them.
Because, again, Connor looks I think it's Victor, excuse me. The bigger guy is Victor, and he is impressive. Connor doesn't. Connor looks like a kid that works at Hot Topic, and it's not I don't believe how awesome, you know, this tag team is. I think it's been evident that they have no idea what to do with them. While they were okay in NXT, I don't think they work on the main roster.
Yeah, that's what I didn't get is like they made it seem like they tore NXT to shreds. Yes, they held like the record for the tag team titles, but I don't think people in NXT really cared for them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand where they thought, okay, these guys are ready to make the main roster because they weren't really even over in NXT.
And I feel too that they lack a manager. Maybe if they had a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
That would help out some, but I don't buy them. The Ascension should be, sorry, you're done.
Okay, that's fair.
All right, speaking of NXT, I'm going to go with my pick. I also put Baron Corbin on the list.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because I just don't, I don't understand the character, number one. I truly don't see what's so great about him. If he wasn't 6'9", he would be wrestling in Troy, Ohio.
Right, and I think that falls into the cliche of the McMahon loves big men thing.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of guys his size that somehow make it, that you wonder how they were able to lace up a pair of boots, or shoes, if you will. I totally agree with you on that. I don't get the character. Is there a character?
I don't even know. I don't get it. He's got tattoos, he wears a leather vest, but he's not a biker. He's not a... You know, he's not like a goth guy. What is he? I don't get it. All right, who else did you put on the list? I gave three. You gave two. Who's your third pick to cut?
So I'll wait. Do my bigger ones at the end. Okay. My next one would be Adam Rose. I hated Adam Rose in NXT. I was absolutely dumbfounded as to why they were going to bring him up. And I think I even mentioned it to you, like, when NXT was, you know, a couple years ago. I was like, who the hell is this guy? I think he's horrible. Because, like, I don't really get the gimmick. I mean, I know what it is. It's supposed to be, you know, like, Russell Brand, I guess. But I remember the first time I saw him, he came to the ring, and he, like, pranced around the ring. And I'm like, what is believable about this guy to be able to beat up anybody?
Okay, I'm gonna go on. I'm just gonna be honest. I thought about him, but watching the E60 about the fact that he has a child that's got some health issues and his struggle to come up with a new character, because that's what the E60. I know you said you haven't watched it, but basically, you know, he was told, look, Leo Kruger, the big game hunter gimmick that you're doing is not working. Come up with something else. I was hard pressed to put him on the list because, while I agree with you, I don't get the gimmick. And by the way, I've been told that's just a generational thing. Like, because of our age, we don't get the Adam Rose gimmick because Russell Brand is like the young hip comedian. This is what I've been told. Straight up, this is what I've been told. We don't get it. I'm like, well, that probably is true. I guess that's correct. I guess I don't understand what makes Russell Brand so damn funny. Because I don't find him funny. I find him annoying. But I would keep him because I'm going to steal Juice Jennings' gimmick because I think it's a great idea. Is Juice Jennings said on this podcast a few episodes ago, just keep like the three faces of Foley. Like have him as himself, Ray LaPond, have him as Leo Kruger, have him as Adam Rose, and that would be entertaining. Do the same shtick as they did with the three faces of Foley.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
I never thought of that.
I think you could use that, but I agree with you. I don't get the whole Adam Rose Exotic Express thing.
I think his entrance was kind of getting over in NXT, and now it's not. I mean, they bring him back on those NXT shows, and people pee all over him.
Yeah. All right, fourth person that you would cut.
For me, mentioned commentators. One for me that I have a very difficult time dealing with is JBL.
Really?
Yes, I do not care for him whatsoever. I don't really understand, because he's like, is he supposed to be a heel commentator? Is he supposed to be a face commentator? You never really know. And I don't think that his act really adds to anything.
Well, I think the reason, and you know, you mentioned that because I'll go ahead and reveal that one of the writers of this article, which we're going to go over their picks, did say, Jerry Lawler, JBL, Michael Cole, that they would just get rid of those three announcers. So when you asked about that, I think JBL, okay, I am indifferent about JBL, but I'm with you. I think they like him because he's the internet smark, if you will, because he always throws out things that, you know, that the people on the internet are going to pop for. Casual fan isn't. And I think that that's the only reason why they keep him around, is because he'll throw out the, Alberto Del Rio is Mila Mascaris' nephew, you know, that type of shit. And that, you know, people on the internet mark out for that.
Because him and Booker T, I'm kind of the same feeling. I don't care for Booker T as a commentator at all, mainly because you can't – I don't want to say you can't understand what he's saying, but the way he says it sometimes, you're just like, what are you talking about?
Exactly. My other one, my fourth one was Naomi.
Yeah, I was with you. I was looking at her as well.
Yeah, because I just don't think – I'm sorry. She's athletic, but she's not the right type of athletic for the WWE Divas division. I was trying to put a diva – because I thought of Naomi right off the bat, and I thought, well, there's a bunch of other divas that should go. But you can't justify getting rid of the Bella Twins because they are the pretty faces that sell that reality show. So you can't get rid of them. I feel bad for Emma. Because I think Emma is a very talented wrestler, but is never going to get a spot on the roster. I thought about releasing her. But overall, man, I look at that match for Elimination Chamber. My God, it was awful. And I think Naomi was one-third of the reason why it was awful.
Yeah, and I had Cameron.
I'm sorry, one half. I'm sorry, I didn't do the math correctly. Because I don't think Paige had much to do with that match. I think it's the other two that were made that thing a complete debacle.
Yeah, like I said, Cameron, I even thought about too, but she's not really in the mix at all anyway, so.
Well, All right, your fifth and final one, if you were cutting.
I know you might be surprised by this one, but for me, I would get rid of Sheamus.
No shit, that's exactly who I have, too. Because my fifth one is Sheamus. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, the great minds think alike.
Yeah, I was never a big fan of him from the beginning. When he came onto the scene and challenged, you know, Triple H at WrestleMania. Again, there's nothing about him, and I don't know if it's his presence, if it's, I don't think he's a horrible worker. I mean, he does okay, but I don't know. I don't get excited. Like, if I see he's wrestling somebody, I'm not like, oh, I can't wait to see that match. Usually it's, Sheamus.
Here's my problem with Sheamus. Two things. One, they flipped him so many times that I don't care.
Same with Big Show.
Yeah, and same with Big Show, right. He's been flipped so many times as a face heel. I don't care anymore.
Right.
And I also think, too, he's been in the business at least 6 or 7 years, and what else do you do with the guy? You give him a mohawk and you braid his beard, which looks ridiculous, but he's the same character. There's nothing about him. I mean, he's pushing for the IC title. I think they're doing that right now. But, I mean, honestly,
after having the world title twice, by the way.
Right, yeah, right. Which, I just don't see it. I don't get his appeal in terms of, like, I agree with you. As a big guy, he moves around the ring pretty well. He's got decent wrestling skills, you know. But just the character is done. I don't get it. And here, I'm going to throw out a – go ahead. You go ahead first.
No, I was going to say, you know, a lot of people put him and Wade Barrett kind of in the same mix because I think they kind of came from the same overseas promotion. Mm-hmm. And along with, like, Drew Galloway, I think he was in that mix too.
Yep.
I feel bad for Wade Barrett because I think Wade Barrett had a great run before he got hurt, and then they didn't want him to get any cheers, so they made him take away the Bad News Barrett gimmick, which was getting over. And that's what makes me so irate about WWE. It's like they tell these guys, well, you got to think of something to get over. And then when it does, they put their foot down and say, nah, we don't want that.
And the King gimmick is ridiculous. He looks ridiculous in that outfit.
The gimmick is way played out.
Yeah, exactly.
The last one I think it worked for was Booker T as King Booker, just because it was so ridiculous.
And he made it over the top. He just went way over the top with it, which, you know, you look at a dude that's from not the nicest part of Houston, Texas, and you know, and he's trying to be civilized and sophisticated. It was funny. But, yeah, I agree with you. That didn't work. I was going to say this. This is the thing that I don't understand because it worked, and maybe people go, well, because, John, it's not the 1970s anymore. But you have somebody like Sheamus. Why not come up? We complain and we bitched about tag teams. Why not put Sheamus under a hood with another bigger guy and have them be the masked executioners or whatever? Why not do that nowadays to mix things up?
Well, quite honestly, you put a mask on him, everybody's going to know it's him because he's got the pale Irish skin.
But still, they can, you could use that, man. You know, you could use that somehow, you know? I mean, it's worked in the past, and I know people go, well, it worked in the past. It's now 2015, John. But I'm just saying, I think that you know, you make it so that it means something. Oh, we all know that Sheamus, okay? He lost a loser leaves WWE match or whatever. You know what I mean? And it might get some more excitement into that particular character. So, here's two other folks. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and I think that's where tag team wrestling could really come into play, as opposed to throwing two guys together and just saying, try to go make something work, and like Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, granted, they're making it work, but why couldn't you find something for like a Sheamus, you'll put Sheamus and Wade Barrett together, there's some kind of overseas, you know, like the Can-Am connection, but, you know, and actually make them a tag team, as opposed to saying, okay, you guys just go out there and do the job for the Ascension a couple times, and then we'll see how it goes.
Right. A couple of people that I had also on that rough draft list was Heath Slater.
Yeah, I thought about him too. But he's been a good guy to feed to some folks to get over just because his character is so, I guess, annoying to fans.
Yes.
That he's good to feed to a big guy or whatever to just go out there and do a squash.
And Jack Swagger was my other one that was
on. Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Yeah. Well, here's what the 411 writers came up with. As I mentioned, one writer said Jerry Lawler, JBL, Michael Cole, Cameron. One individual put Cesaro and Tyson Kidd on the list.
Why?
Basically, because they feel that they could go to another promotion and just be the main event, which I think is ludicrous. I think that's a dumb idea.
That is a dumb idea.
Hunico, who is actually Sin Cara right now, and I, you and I had this conversation via text. I'm not a huge fan of Lucha Dragons.
I think they're okay. Again, it's something different, but they're not making it something different.
No.
They're just having them go out there and fly around.
Jason Albert was on one gentleman's list, as well as The Bunny. I'm like, really? The Bunny? Why don't you put the Gobbledygooker on there?
Yeah.
and Jason Albert, I'm like, he's a trainer, so he's really not, I mean, he's the trainer in NXT, he's the commentator, I don't see where that would really work. Somebody did put Dolph Ziggler on their list, and Eric Rowan, both of which I disagree with. I think that you put Rowan and Harper back together, I think that's a great tag team to work with.
If they let them.
And I don't think that Dolph Ziggler, I think, yes, he's been around a while, but I still think he's got some things that he can bring to the table.
Yeah, and you got to think there's something with Dolph Ziggler. There's got to be something backstage that either people don't like or he's too arrogant for folks. Because, I mean, the way that he works, it seems impossible that he hasn't been able to break that ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Another couple, Stardust.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Now, and these folks all showed up on multiple, as I said, there were five riders. These are pretty much all in agreement. Zack Ryder showed up on most of these.
I like Zack Ryder.
I do too, but I think that he's not going to get a push. I mean, hopefully the rumor is he's going to go to NXT for a while. Maybe that'll revive things.
Yeah, that would be good.
That would be good. Alex Riley, which I totally agree with.
Yeah, I don't get him either.
No, especially the fact that he wears tennis shoes in the ring. I know you'd hate that.
Oh,
Bull Dempsey, I totally agree with him.
Yeah.
I don't get what Bull Dempsey's shtick is. And last but not least, Rosa Mendez.
Yeah, well, I guess an argument could be made to get rid of Fandango, too, then.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Fandango was also on many lists that these writers came up with several times he showed up. I wouldn't mind seeing him go somewhere else where his talents could be utilized a little bit better.
Right. I was going to say, I mean, I dig him. I think he's a good wrestler. Maybe he's a good NXT guy to get down there and work with some of the younger guys, too.
Yeah, ultimately. All right, so there you go. There you have it, ladies and gents. You got anything else you want to wrap up with?
No, I mean, I'm excited to see the next pay-per-view, the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. It's coming from Columbus, Ohio. I think it's cool for Columbus. I've heard they've sold out. So hopefully they get a good show and they can get some more pay-per-views back. Money in the Bank is always a good one. It's one of the few gimmick matches that I kind of look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike the Elimination Chamber that we just saw, that's one that I still don't understand. I don't understand the appeal of it whatsoever. I'm looking forward to seeing that. That's going to happen next Sunday, depending on when you post this podcast, but look forward to that, and hopefully people in Columbus get a good show out of it.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think, when was the last pay-per-view Columbus had?
One that we went to, I believe, was King of the Ring 2002 was the last one that they saw.
Yeah, but I thought maybe there was another one in between that, but maybe not. Maybe not.
I don't think that there was.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think so. No?
So, and I don't know if it's just that they don't think it's going to draw money, but hopefully this sellout will show that they can draw money.
Pun intended on that, huh?
Yes, yes.
All right, hey, you want to plug anything social media-wise, or should we just go ahead and kind of wrap things up here?
You know, you can always follow me on Twitter. It's at ARB2680. Always happy to talk via Twitter. I'm on there a lot during, Monday Night Raw, Ring of Honor, just more than anything to see what everybody says about it.
Yeah, you do love the live tweeting during shows. I know.
I do. Yes.
You do. My phone blows up quite a bit. So. Hey, all right. Well, with that, then, thanks for coming on, Adam. And,
thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. I'm going to throw out a quick break, and then when we come out of the break, I will wrap things up for this episode.
Web hosting services for the PVD cast provided by Bluehost. Check out Bluehost.com for more information. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Adam Michaels and myself talking about professional wrestling. Whether it was independent pro wrestling or the WWE, there you got some opinions, some thoughts, some insights from the two of us. And you know what? When it comes to that article that we talked about, the five WWE superstars you would release, you know, feel free to let me know how I did. I'm sure I could speak for Adam. Let him know what you think about his picks as well. And let me tell you how you can do that. You can do that for me by simply going over to Twitter and hit me up at PVDMVP. Instagram is also the same username, PVDMVP. Or you could shoot me an email by shooting me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. And now that I've given you all my particular ins and outs about where to contact me, let's get into Orlando's Fave, which, you hear the music there, we're going to talk about music. That is my fave for the week, or for this episode. There's a fabulous radio station down here, CD1025, which I've talked about quite a bit, Columbus's home of alternative independent rock and roll. They've been playing a song by a band called DMAs. The song is entitled Laced. In fact, why not? Let's take a little listen to it. There you go, giving you a little taste of it, so to speak, if you will. And, you know, guys, really, really like the song. So the opportunity came to go see them in concert. And this past Wednesday, it was a $5 Lodo show. The radio station put it on. And you know what? Gotta say this. Though the turnout was not a typical turnout for one of these events, Columbus usually represents pretty well, but it was a little bit of a bad turnout. And nonetheless, those guys were really, really impressive in the fact that they just decided to hang out with the folks that showed up, and they were very pleasant, very, very thankful for everybody that came out. They felt that it was a great show, and it was a great show. And earlier on in the afternoon, they had performed at the radio station, a small little intimate set that was broadcast on the air. I went to that as well and met the guys, and it was a really cool opportunity. So I'm giving some love for Orlando's Fave to the band DMAs. And of course their big hit is Laced. That's the first single out. They have an EP that's out right now. You should go and snag it up. And you know what? What the hell? Who cares about copyright? You know what? Let's end this podcast not with the usual music. Let's hit up a little bit of the DMAs. Let's just close it out. I'm going to play their song, Lace. So with that being said, enjoy it, ladies and gentlemen, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks.